Well, it's not by accident that we've chosen All Saints Day for confirmation, because part of what these two young men are going to be doing in just a moment is vowing, is making promises of commitment, even to the point of their very lives. And that puts them in the ranks of all the other saints, all the other Christians throughout time who have done the same thing. So we want to do that on this day as a recognition that we're part of something far bigger than ourselves. You know, if it's reported that there are more than 50,000 homeless veterans in America. 50,000. To me, that's amazing. And there is an attempt by several government civil organizations to address this problem, and that's good. I'm thankful for that. And this is a problem that deserves our attention as a nation, because we know historically, for the most part anyway, when a unit returns from serving overseas, there's often some kind of a parade or recognition of their services that have been done. Great celebration plan to welcome them home. And it's well deserved, and I'm grateful for that. We have holidays set aside to honor our veterans and to remember those who paid the ultimate price, sacrificing their lives for our freedom. Again, this is an honorable and needed thing. But we often take for granted those who are currently in harm's way. So as we speak this morning, there are military servicemen and women deployed all over the globe. And these faithful servants sacrifice deeply and greatly to keep us free. Not to mention the hundreds of thousands who are here on American soil who are willing to do what it takes to keep us and secure our protection and security and our liberty. They sacrifice their own desires. They spend time away from their families. They are grossly underpaid oftentimes and often unappreciated. So this morning I want us to remember and be reminded not only to forget those who are faithful to service to our country, but there's another group that I want us to focus on. I want to highlight today those who have faithfully served and should not be forgotten. They are the saints of God. Saints of God. Now, within the church world, you know, you're not going to see this in a secular world, but today is known as All Saints Day. And it's a day where we take time to remember those believers who have gone before us in the Christian faith. Those who have suffered persecution, even died by professing their faith in Jesus Christ. Last week we celebrated Reformation, and remembering 500 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther and many others were willing to give of their life under death threats and greatly persecuted because they weren't willing to give up the truth of what God has shared with them and with us in the Bible. So it happens. And today we remember the saints who have, by the grace of God, served the church and the world with lasting contribution. That's great. And it's also a day where we remember the ordinary saints, if you will. Saints like those listed on the wall around you this morning. Friends and loved ones who have died in the Christian faith this past year. Do you remember them? Some of you are sitting by family members, I know that. Did you love them? Of course you did. You learn anything from them? Well, when you get to be a little older from being a kid, you go, well, yeah, actually I did. Did you get any encouragement from them? Yeah. Do you miss them? Well, you know, this morning I want us to be reminded we don't have to feel sorry for these folks. Now, listen to what St. John wrote about these faithful folks of faith in heaven in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17, part of what was read earlier. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I love that. I love that section. That Lamb talked about in Revelation 7, Jesus Christ. And because of what Christ has done for them and for us, they're now part of that great company of heaven, who worship God day and night, is what it says, who no longer know sickness or pain or sorrow or injury or sadness or grief. I love it. They've arrived. They've arrived. You and I, we're still waiting our time, aren't we? Oh, I'm not afraid of heaven yet or afraid of dying, but I'm sure not looking to go jump in front of a truck on 169 looking to get there and speed up the process. We're still waiting, you and I as well. Which means, in the meantime, my friends, you and I are still experiencing tears, don't we? As part of life in this sinful, fallen world. But as we remember these saints in our lives who've gone before us, I hope we're grateful for their example and their encouragement over the time and their faithfulness. Well, today is also a time to think about how we can live out our faith. These two young men have started out by confessing and stating this is what they believe, which is neat to hear. Sometimes you're sitting in class and you'd swear these guys aren't paying any attention, except for these two. These guys were always on top of things. Now, they're not denying it. But you don't think they're hearing a thing, and then you listen to what they write and what they say, and you go, my gosh, they get it. They get it. Good job, guys. Good job, guys. And that brings then the reminder to each of us about our relationship with God and our faith. After all, we are the current batch of saints of the Lord. How does that make you feel? Ooh, a little guilty perhaps? Yeah, right, you might be thinking. Me, a saint? No way! Mother Teresa? Yeah, okay. Maybe St. Augustine? Okay. Martin Luther? Yeah, of course. How about St. Paul and Peter and John? For sure! But me? No way. Well, if that's what you're thinking, my friends, you're wrong. You're wrong. You see, you are a saint. Yeah, you are. You are a saint because a saint is not defined as a good person who does wonderful things, but rather as a forgiven sinner. Ah, now we qualify, don't we? I've got the sinner part down pat. But the forgiven part, that's something God has done for us. And you connect those two, that makes you a saint. A forgiven sinner. Well, hopefully a saint strives to do good as well, godly and helpful things, of course. COVID-19 that's going around is giving us opportunity to reach out to people. We're going to just, by the way, in Thanksgiving, we have formally decided, Alice has got her group of folks together for Thanksgiving dinner. We've always had historically on Thanksgiving Eve a community dinner in which several hundred folks from our community come and we serve them a hot turkey dinner. It's delicious, the fellowship. Well, we're going to do that, but it's not going to be hot and it's not going to be here. We're going to do a curbside, I think is how we're doing that. And we've ordered dinners and we're going to, as we have in the past, ask people to sign up and we will provide dinners for them. Why do we do that? Because we want to share with them the gifts God has given us and to say thank you, Lord, for the benefits of being part of your family. That's part of what, quote, saints do. But the saint does not do these things to become special. We do them because we love God and want to serve him and say thankful. Thank you, God. But only faith in Jesus Christ does that. If you believe Jesus is your Lord, you're a saint. So I ask you again on this All Saints Day, what are you doing to represent your God in the best way possible? Well, you have the torch of Christ in your hands. What are you doing to help encourage your fellow saints in their walk of faith? You know, reaching out to the lost, perhaps the new believer, the sick, of which we have a long list. The discouraged, you know any discouraged people in COVID-19? Man, they're all over the place and it seems to be becoming more intense in many people's lives. Those that are discouraged, they are all vital elements of the ministry of a Christian, of course. Jesus directed us to do so. He didn't just say sit, he said go. So there's a bunch of things that we can do, and hopefully we want to keep doing them. But we dare not neglect the care, the attention, and support of our fellow saints, our brothers and sisters in the faith. You see, too often in the church, the steady Freddies, the go-to Gerdas, the dependable Debbies slip through the cracks unnoticed. We take and take and take and use their services and their time and their energies and then just kind of ignore them. But you see, these dependable servants, these servants of God and saints in the church, are the faithful, devoted, strong and steadfast, sacrificial serving saints among us. Often get overlooked and taken for granted. Well, that ought not to be. Each and every saint, you and me included, we need encouragement. You need encouragement. You need hope. And a few attaboys. And you know why? Because you can be sure that the faithful folks are often the first ones the devil will attempt to stop. You see, you as a Christian, you got a big target on your back, a big red target. I'm not talking about Target department store. That target that the devil is looking to attack you if he can, to attempt to stop you. He wants to halt you because you're having a positive impact on others because of Christ. My friends, we can't let the devil destroy or weaken those fellow saints. We can't do it. I'm not telling you something you don't know, but it's pretty easy to grow weary when faced with regular and steady spiritual attacks, isn't it? We grow weary and we reach some point of burnout. Some of you have been there. Some of you are on the brink right now. Some of God's most faithful servants have and will face times of depression. And I say that because I want us to realize we're part of something bigger than ourselves and we're not the first to have these feelings. Consider Elijah. He's one of my favorite guys. 2,800 years ago, an Old Testament prophet. 1 Kings 19 is where we hear a big part of that story, and I love it. Now, this guy, he had just experienced one of the greatest victories in the Bible. He had this big contest between him as representing God in the Old Testament, the Jewish God, and then the Baal worshipers, which was the secular, in essence, God of the day. And there was a contest between 450 of those Baal prophets and Elijah. And as it turns out, Elijah, representing God, won out. 450 of those prophets were killed, of those pagan god Baal. Well, as they were killed, the wicked queen Jezebel, she turned her back on Elijah. And she said, I'm going to get you, buddy. I'm going to get you. And the message she sent him stating she intended to kill him. Well, here's this guy having this phenomenal victory, just finished. He should have been doing the dance. But instead, out of fear, he ran a day's journey, we're told, and hid himself, sat down under a juniper tree. It's not a very impressive tree, is it? He doesn't look very happy, because he wasn't. As great of an experience he had serving God, he was discouraged. He gave up, and he said, God, take me. Kill me. Under that tree, we see a man who had pushed himself beyond his physical and emotional limits. Elijah found himself in a period of great discouragement and depression. He needed refreshment. Now, that word refreshment doesn't mean a Coke and Oreo cookie. The word refresh means to give new strength and to give energy to. And even though his faithful servant, like Elijah, needs to be refreshed at times. I mean, Elijah sure needed refreshment, didn't he? Well, spoiler alert, he got it. In 1 Kings 19, verse 18, here's what it says. God is speaking to Elijah. He's under the tree, and God said, hey, buddy, listen up. He said, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Yeah, God is saying, Elijah, you're not alone. You're not alone. He needed to hear that. Well, you and I have also heard another section that I take great encouragement from over the years. It's an account from Exodus 17, another favorite section. Israelite, the nation, they're facing the opposition from a group powerful enemies of Israelites, the Amalekites. I know we don't hear a lot about it, but these guys were not friendly towards the Jewish folks. And while wandering in the desert, the Amalekites attacked God's people, the Israelites. So they got a big war going on. Joshua, that was the lieutenant of Moses. You see in the picture up there, you got Moses in the center and of his buddies, Aaron, his brother, and Hur. They were watching from a nearby hill this battle going on. And in Exodus 17:11, here's what it says. So it came about when Moses held up his hand, he's got the staff representing his authority from God. When he held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. Oh boy, what happens? Well, eventually Moses becomes, guess what? Weary. You ever hold things over your head for a while? It gets tiring. And he did too. So what happened was Aaron and Hur, these two supporters, responded by holding up Moses' arms until the Israelites were able to finally defeat the Amalekites. Yay for the good guys. Okay, 2020. Today's church, my friends. There are some leaders like Moses there. There are some warriors like Joshua in the church. But praise God, there are some like Aaron and Hur who stand on either side of those folks that are in the public eye, so to speak, and support them. We have faithful folks of faith among us who are rarely noticed. Maybe you're one of them. In fact, I know you are. I know many of you love to serve, but you're saying, don't call attention. Sarah is one of them. We're so grateful. I made her sit up here. She didn't want to. But Sarah is one of our key helpers and leaders and support persons here in the congregation. Does a marvelous job, but she says, don't draw attention to me. I said, too bad, we need to see you because you're the Aaron and the Hur, and many of you sitting around here fit that same category. They don't want the credit. Very often they don't want it. They say, and I get that, because the majority of their fellow Christians within the church will never know what they do. And that's just fine as far as they're concerned. There are people who are praying and fasting, carrying the load, helping with communion, doing the community dinners, plowing the snow, all the stuff that goes on just to keep the building going, let alone the ministries at the laundromats and all the other. The folks carrying the load, studying and sharing, working behind the scenes. I'm talking about many of you, aren't I? You at home, you watching on the web. I want to say thank you, because we need people who will support others. Can you do that? I think you can. Can you be a refresher? I think you can. Can you be an encourager? I think you can. Can you be a person who is a prayer warrior, holding up the faithful among us? I think you can. So here's my challenge as we wrap things up for this portion of our service today. This week I want you to be thinking about what you can do to encourage, refresh, and support your fellow faithful saints here at Zion and throughout the Christian church. Can you do that? I think you can. I think you can. And may God be with you and bless you and allow you to use your gifts as you are a saint of the Lord serving our great God. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.